Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're happy you're with us here this evening. It's July the 6th, 2025. And you can find Ed and I here almost every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on New Visions Radio. Why do I say almost, Ed?
Well, sometimes we're not there. Like, I'm not there right now. So.
Yeah, that's right. You're still visiting family. You've been away for a couple of weeks now, huh?
Right.
So tell us a little bit about your adventure today.
Well, just been spending time with family, my two grandkids, my two sons, and their mom. And we've been active, very active, doing kayaking, hiking, biking, pickleball.
Yeah. So you told me you did a little bit of kayaking and went about 6 miles the other day, huh?
Yeah.
So that's pretty amazing. I don't think I could do that. I'd probably be worn out and very sore.
Yeah, it was tiring, that's for sure.
I'm sure it was. We want to thank Ray Powers for giving us the opportunity to be here each and every week and for keeping us on the air for many, many years. And it's a blessing to be able to open the Word of God and just see what it says without having to be censored, without having to worry about that. It's a blessing to be on this network, isn't it, Ed?
Yes, it's great. I mean, I don't know any other person that would let us just speak the words of God's Word.
Yeah. And it's an amazing thing. We're very grateful for that. So, Ed, tell us a little bit about Prophecies of Hope, would you please?
We're a small little ministry in Stanton, Virginia, 1743 West Beverly Street. We have services Wednesday evening at 7 for a prayer time Bible study. And then we have our church service on the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. And we start a Bible study at 9:30 and our worship hour is at 11.
All right. Very good. And if you would like to join us, you can either live stream the Sabbath school and the worship service at prophecyhope.com, or you can Zoom it. If you'd like that Zoom link, you just have to email us and we'll make sure you get a link. And Ed, how would somebody email you?
You can reach me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
You can reach me, Mark, at prophecyhope.com. And if you can't remember our names, office@prophecyhope.com. We will get that email. And sometimes we don't get to check our email every day, so give us a couple of days to reply, because we do have things that we do. You know, this ministry, nobody here is paid by the ministry, so we have to work secularly, and those are the things that we do during the week, along with Bible studies with people and trying to make this program happen, preparing sermons, preparing Sabbath school. It's a busy life, but it's really good.
It's a great life.
It really is. It really, really is. And so, one other thing, you know, here we are in July already, and the Bible series is coming up every fall. We do a Bible series, and this year is no different than 2025. We're going to have a Bible series beginning September 1st. Now, I realize that's a holiday for most people in America, but, you know, we feel like we need to get started. If you can't be there live, we are going to live stream it. If you can't be there live, we will have those lectures archived on the website. And this year, we're going to be speaking a lot about Bible prophecy. We're going to look at how Daniel 2 and Daniel 7, Daniel chapter 3, how the book of Revelation and Daniel go hand in hand. And we're going to see the timeline from the time of Babylon when Daniel was walking this earth all the way through to the second coming of Jesus, and even beyond the second coming of Jesus, what's going to happen after that. So it's going to be really interesting seeing how all of the things that we see going on in the world today seem to be the beginning of the culmination of the end of this world before Jesus comes back. Isn't that right, Ed?
Yes. Things are happening all over the world, let alone the United States. You know, I think this prophecy series will be something unusual in that we're only using the Word of God. We're comparing scripture to scripture, looking at the characteristics of the different beasts and comparing them to history and what's happening in the world today. And I don't think you'll find this type of lecture or this type of presentation any place else.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And, you know, we've done this before. We have done series like this before, but the timing of this one seems to be just really, it's a really timely message because a lot of people are looking at the world scene, seeing the things that are going on. And also, you know, we want to encourage you to open your Bible and read it and try to read it a little bit of it every day, even if it's just a couple of verses each day. Ed, if somebody needs a Bible, what do we do? What do we try to do for them?
Well, if you need a Bible, let Mark or myself know and we'll send you one.
Yeah, we'll try to get a Bible in your hand. Now, sometimes there are countries that will not permit the Bible. Most of you who live in those countries know who you are, know where you are. But if your country will permit a Bible to be shipped to you, we will get it to you. And if it's not, you can use, there are apps on your phone that you can use. There are things you can download on your computer. And if you have those things encrypted, you know, you can keep prevent people, or if you're in a have a VPN, you can hopefully keep the source people who are trying to prevent you from having God's word from seeing that you have it. So there are ways. God will provide a way for you. And we just want to make sure everybody gets a Bible or has access to it. So is there any other business we need to talk about, Ed, before we get started?
I don't think so.
All right. Would you have a prayer for us, please?
Sure. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we again thank you for this opportunity, the freedom we have to open your word and to share it with others and to study it together. And Father, as we continue to look at the commandments that you've given us and how they still apply to us today, give us wisdom and knowledge to understand these things and empower us through your Son, Jesus Christ, to apply these things to our lives. Because only these things can occur in our lives through the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And I thank you for hearing our prayer and ask that you guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, Ed, last week we finished up talking about the first four commandments. We've been talking about the commandments of God because there's a text in Revelation that speaks about keeping the commandments of God. Do you have that handy? Do you have that in front of you?
I do. Revelation chapter 22. We had been studying the last few books of Revelation. And in verse 14 of Revelation 22, it says this: "Blessed are they who do his commandments, that their authority will be over the tree of life, that they may enter in by the gates into the city," talking about the New Jerusalem.
Okay. So, yeah, we've done extensive study here. I mean, we could go a lot more in depth than what we did, but it's taken us a little while to get here. And last week, we looked at the first four commandments in the New Testament. I'm just going to highlight them very quickly and just give a verse. Go ahead.
So why are we looking at these and looking at them in the New Testament?
Because it seems that so many people want to say that the Ten Commandments were for the nation of Israel. They were for the people of the Old Testament. And a lot of people, unfortunately, have been taught that Jesus did away with the commandments. But actually, Jesus made the commandments, probably he sounded them down even more, holding us more accountable.
Right.
He really did. He holds us to a higher accountability than those in the Old Testament. And so, and how he did that was, if you remember, he said that you've heard it said that you should not commit adultery. But I tell you that if a man looks at a woman to have lust for her, he has committed adultery with her in his heart.
Right.
And so why is it important that we not have that in our heart?
Because that's where sin starts, in your heart. If you think about things enough and you dwell on these things, usually eventually leads you to do these things.
That's so true. The heart is desperate, isn't it? And so if we don't have these feelings in our heart and we have Christ in our heart, if we allow him to give us a new heart, then we're going to live in accordance to the will of God, to the commandments of God, and do everything like Jesus did it. Jesus kept the commandments of God.
And what did Jesus do when Satan tempted him? He said, you know, it is written. He used the Bible. You know, when Satan tempts you with some of these things, just claim the power of Jesus.
Amen. It's so important. So this is why we're looking at the Ten Commandments in the New Testament, because people want to say, well, we don't have to do that anymore. But notice these words here, Matthew 19, 19. I'm in the wrong place here. Let me back up here. And what I want to do is, I wasn't ready for this. I apologize. Here we go. Just a couple of thoughts that we covered last week. Luke 16, 17. Jesus said, it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail. And we look at Psalm 89, 34 in the Old Testament. God says, my covenant I will not break nor alter, the word that has gone out of my lips. So God doesn't change. I just did a sermon on that not too long ago, that God doesn't change. And then we find, and as we come through, let's see. Here are a couple of places in the New Testament. Matthew 5, 17. I'm just going to run through these quickly because we've covered them before, but this kind of lays the foundation for this evening. Matthew 5, 17 through 20. And he says, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So does it sound like Jesus came to abolish the law at all, Ed?
No, he came to not only live the law, to be obedient to his Father, but to teach everyone else to do the same.
That's what he's saying right here. He didn't come to destroy, but to fulfill. And people have different aspects of what that means, but to fulfill it means to keep it, to show us how to keep it, and to fulfill the things in the Old Testament that pointed to his coming, to his life and death and resurrection. That was all part of the sanctuary service, pointing us to Jesus Christ. So there's no excuse for any Jewish person to say, I don't believe in Jesus. There's no excuse for them. It really isn't. And the next text, Ed, can you look up for me Matthew 5, 21 and 22? Can you find that quickly?
21 and 22. You have heard that it was said to the ancients, you shall not kill, and whoever shall kill shall be liable to the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be liable to the judgment. And whoever shall say it to his brother, Raca, shall be liable to the Sanhedrin. But whoever shall say fool shall be liable to be thrown into the fire of hell.
So this text, again, as we talked about before, he's sounding it down. He's holding us to a higher accountability here. We shouldn't even have that thought in our heart. And then Matthew, I mentioned this one earlier, Matthew 5, 27 and 28, so that people can look this up. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So it's very clear to me when we look at these things that we are to keep the commandments of God. It mentions it in Ecclesiastes. It mentions it. It tells us that in Romans 3:20, by law is the knowledge of sin. That's what it says in the New King James Version. And then in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, this is a New Testament book. It says, now by this we know that we know him. If we keep his commandments, he who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. So we can see very clearly here that the commandments are something that we are supposed to keep for eternity. But where I wanted to pick up, I'm looking for, here we go, the first commandment. Here are the commandments in order. Matthew 4:10. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. That's in the New Testament. That's when Jesus is speaking to the devil, when the devil was tempting him. He's quoting from the Bible, like you said, Ed. 1 John 5:21 is the second commandment. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. And then we have the third commandment in 1 Timothy. These are just highlights, friends. That the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed, because the third commandment is about blaspheming God's name. We talked about that. And then, of course, the fourth commandment. We read Hebrews 4, 1 through 9 last week. But in verses 4 and 9 and 10, it mentions that there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. What happened on the seventh day, Ed, originally?
Well, the seventh day, God had finished creating the heavens and the earth and all the animals and the birds and the fish and Adam and Eve. And he rested on the seventh day and called it a holy day. He sanctified that day because he was so happy with the results of the creation.
Yeah. So here in the book of Hebrews, and this was written long after Jesus had died and was resurrected. And Paul here, I believe Paul being the writer of Hebrews, says, anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. That has to be speaking about when he finished the creation.
Sure.
And he rested on the seventh day. So let's pick up here. Ed, in Matthew chapter 19, we find the fifth commandment here. And Matthew 19, verse 19, do you have that?
I do. This is the modern King James. I'm going to start in verse 18.
Yeah, give us as much context as you want.
17. And he said to him, why do you call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter the life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, which? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Okay, so there we have it. Honor your father and your mother is the fifth commandment.
So why do people say Jesus did away with the commandments when he just clearly, in Matthew 19, say that you're to keep them?
You know, that is the question of a lifetime. And I've wondered that so often. You know, when we look at Matthew 19, let me find that there. I was looking up another text while you were reading that. So you read verses 17. Verses 17 through 19. So when he says which ones, now I've heard tons of arguments about this, and it seems like people are trying to find a reason to break God's commandments, to live in sin. That's sure. Just the way it seems. And so when this guy says to Jesus, he says, which commandments, which ones? Jesus spoke up and he said, hold on, I'm having a hard time seeing here because my light is dim. Let me turn my light up a little bit. Can you have that, Ed? Can you read it?
Sure. Let me start in verse 17 again. And he said to him, why do you call me good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, this man that was asking the question said to Jesus, which? And Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Okay. So when we look at this, and I've had people say to me, well, he didn't mention the Sabbath there. And it's true. He didn't mention it. But he's speaking to this man. And this man obviously had kept these commandments. And he had a problem with one particular commandment. And it tells us more about that in verse. Can you continue reading in verse 20? And then we'll talk about this a little bit.
Sure. The young man said to Jesus, I have kept all these things from my youth up. What do I lack yet? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me.
And the young man, when he heard this, he was hurt because he had great possessions. He was coveting. This is what Jesus was pointing out to him. And people say, well, he didn't mention the Sabbath here, so I don't have to keep the Sabbath. And I would say to them when they say that, well, he didn't mention not worshiping idols. Is that okay? He didn't mention not blaspheming God's name. Does that mean that's done away with? He didn't mention worshiping a false god. Does that mean that's okay? You see, he was keeping the first four commandments. It was one of the last that he did. It was actually the last of the Ten Commandments that he had a problem with. And Jesus said, if you miss one, remember James says, if you've broken one commandment, you've broken them all.
Right.
So, you know, think about that. Most people, they don't think ahead. They don't think about it because we're looking for excuses to not keep the law. Well, I don't want to have to keep the Sabbath because, you know, it's going to hit me on my wallet. I have to take off of work that day, or there's things I want to get done. I've got to paint the bedroom and I've got to get my grass mowed and all these kinds of things. But these are things that God says, I want you to rest. I want to spend time with you.
You know,
God wants our time.
When you look at the fourth commandment, it says, 6 days I've given you to do your work, but I'm going to bless you by giving you this seventh day, a day of rest.
That's so true. And the blessings, Ed, all of your life, you grew up knowing and believing and being taught by your parents the truth about the Sabbath and the rest and the seventh day.
Yes.
And you've been blessed by doing that all of your life. Have you ever had any regrets that you kept the Sabbath?
No, but, you know, experience as a young person growing up in a Christian home, at some point you reach an age where you start making decisions for yourself.
Right.
And then you're no longer keeping the commandments of God because your parents said to do it, but because you want to. You decided it's the right thing to do. And each person has to make that choice for themselves.
Yes, it's so true. And really, friends, this is the commandment. You know, we're covering all of them. We've covered the first four. We're on number five right now that we're talking about. But even here, when Jesus used these words, people will look for an excuse to not keep the Sabbath. I grew up in a non-Sabbath-keeping church. I went to church Sunday all of my life. And when I came to realize about the Sabbath, it was tough. I mean, I looked at that day and I said, well, being in business, this is my biggest profit day. How do I close my business on the biggest profit day that I have? And really, if you think about it, Ed, all retailers, the vast majority of retailers, their biggest and busiest day is after 5 o'clock Friday through closing time on Saturday. That's their busiest time because this is how the world has been trained. They've been taught. They've been really indoctrinated, much like what happened with Nebuchadnezzar when he was trying to indoctrinate the Hebrew boys into worshiping that image. And really, that's what this all has to do with. It has to do with worship.
So, Mark, what happened to your business when you decided to close on the Sabbath?
Well, it's pretty amazing. I'll have to tell the whole testimony sometime, but you know, I had to talk to the fellows that worked for me because they like working on that day because most of them work and get paid according to how much work they do. The more work they do, the more they get paid. It's not by an hourly rate like most people. It's a commission type of job. Mm-hmm. And so when I went and I was worried about what they were going to say, I said, how would you guys feel about closing on both Saturday and Sunday? Because we were already closed on Sunday. And they were all for it. I couldn't believe it. I mean, they were like, yeah, that would be great. A 2-day weekend. Are you kidding me? So, you know, I'd made it a matter of prayer and I talked about it in my mind. And I talked with God about it a lot. And he really laid it on my heart. And finally, when I closed on the Sabbath, it was actually immediately the following week, our business was up. And then we closed on the Sabbath. And then the next week, it was up a little more. We actually do more work in 5 days than we ever did in 6. And I know most people probably wouldn't believe that. I know my accountant knows it. And you know, I pointed that out to him, and he thought that was pretty amazing, and he could see it in the paperwork. So, right. You know, that was a witness, and it's a witness to the guys as well, because they see, wow, we're doing more work now. And it's amazing. This is how God pours blessings out.
Right.
Look at how he took care of his people when they came out of Egypt. He cared for them so long as they were obedient. He took care of them. They had not a want in the world.
You know, you used the key word there. It's called obedience.
Yeah. That seems to be a very controversial word today, doesn't it?
Yes.
For people to want to obey. So here we have the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. And, you know, I think about that. God is our heavenly father. How do we honor our heavenly father? By doing the things that he asks us to do.
Right.
And we honor our earthly father and mother the same way. And, you know, God's never going to ask us to do anything against his law. Now, our parents inadvertently might not realize they're doing that, but we can honor our mom and our dad, our father and our mother, even if we disagree with them. We can still honor them. It's not disrespectful to disagree so long as you do it respectfully and you're living up to what God asks us rather than what men are asking us to do. Any thoughts there, Ed?
Well, you know, it seems like there's always one commandment, at least, that people don't want to follow. And it's not always the same one. Some of it's about honoring the only true God and worshiping him only. Some it's the Sabbath. Some it's money. It just varies from person to person. Sometimes it's immorality. You know,
yes. It
varies from person to person.
It surely does. So I just want people to know that the fifth commandment about honoring your father and your mother, it doesn't mean you have to do everything they tell you to do, because if they ask you to do something, if you've come to know the Sabbath truth and you're a teenager living at home and your parents ask you to mow the grass on Sabbath and you say, well, mom or dad, I'll do it Friday. Can I do it Friday instead of Sabbath? Can I do it the Sunday instead of Sabbath? Most of the time, people will be reasonable and work with you most of the time. So. Yeah, so let's move on to the next one. I don't think most people don't have a problem with this one. I don't think there's any argument. Romans 13:9. Let me read that. I've got it here. It says, actually, I will start in verse 8, Romans 13:8. It says, owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. That doesn't sound like the law is done away with, does it?
No.
And it says in verse 9, for the commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law.
It's not only the fulfillment of the last 6 commandments, but it's also the fulfillment of the first 4.
Absolutely.
Mark, who's speaking these words or writing these words?
This is actually Paul writing to the Church of Rome.
Not only have we seen Jesus say these same words in Matthew 19, but Paul, who was converted from an interaction with Jesus Christ himself on the road to Damascus, is speaking these same words.
Yes. And this is, again, this is after Christ has ascended to heaven. So Jesus' death did not make the commandments null and void. It did not in any way. So we see the sixth commandment listed here among these others: you shall not murder. Now, Matthew chapter 19, you read this already, Ed. You read the fifth commandment, but it also mentions you shall not commit adultery in Matthew 19, verse 18. And, you know, sometimes, I know you've had some conversations with people that try to make excuses about certain things, like even marriage. And they'll look back to the book of Exodus or Deuteronomy and try to point to something. Can you share a little of that with us?
Well, if we go back to Matthew 19, he starts in verse 4. And the question's asked in verse 3, and the Pharisees came to him. Of course, the Pharisees are always trying to find fault with Christ, trying to find something to trip him up, to accuse him of something. And so they're asking they're asking Jesus this question. And the Pharisees came to him, tempting him.
Saying, what verse are you in? I'm sorry.
It's 3.
Okay.
19. And the Pharisees came to him, tempting him, and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause a man shall leave father and mother and shall cling to his wife, and the two of them shall be one flesh. Therefore they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. They said to him, why did Moses then command to give a bill of divorce to put her away? He said to them, because of your hardheartedness, Moses allowed you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever shall put away his wife, except for fornication, and shall marry another, commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is put away commits adultery. You know, this is not a popular message.
And it is not.
Anywhere in the world, let alone a Christian church, you will never hear this preached in a Christian church because no one follows it.
It's so true. And it's really sad because this is going against the commandments of God when we go contrary to these words of Jesus here. And go ahead, Ed.
It shows you the sacredness of the marriage commitment.
Amen. And the fact that he points back, you know, Jesus here, he's quoting from the Bible. He's referring, have you not read that he who made them in the beginning made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife. He's quoting from Genesis chapter 2 there. And and so this is how Jesus taught. He always referred or referred to scripture or deferred to his father. He never spoke of his own.
Right. You know, when people say that the commandments have been done away with, if the commandments of God can be done away with, there was no reason for Jesus Christ to die on the cross.
That's very true. Why do you say that, Ed? Explain that a little bit.
He died and shed his blood to cover the penalty for my breaking of God's commandments.
Not so that you could keep doing it, though, right?
No. And if they can be done away with, there was no reason for Jesus to die and shed his blood for that.
That's so true. See, God can't change. He is so just that the scales of justice have to be balanced. And when when he, because of the way his law is, there had to be something to pay for or and to be able to take away the sins of the world.
You know, if you go back to Genesis, Mark, you always talk that you can find everything you need to know in the Bible in the book of Genesis.
Yeah, all of the true doctrines. Yeah.
Let's go to Genesis chapter 2.
Okay.
And verse 16. I'm going to start a little bit above that in verse 15 of Genesis 2. And it says, Jehovah God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. And Jehovah God commanded the man, saying, you may eat freely of every tree in the garden, but you shall not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So God has commandments from the beginning. And the results of disobedience of that commandment was that they would die. The day that you eat of it, they would die.
That's right. And they would have died that day. They would have died, but God made a provision for them, which was the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, represented in those coats of skins that he covered them. He covered their nakedness. He covered their sinfulness. And of course, those coats of skins come from dead animals, not live animals. So represented the sacrifice that Jesus would come and eventually perform on the cross.
You know, I remember growing up as a kid, the church that I grew up in taught that the commandments were done away with. So they wouldn't talk about keeping the commandments of God. They would talk about doing the requirements of God. Isn't it something how they change and water things down in churches sometimes?
Yeah.
Well, God does have requirements, but it says here, it doesn't say, this is what I require of you. He said, this is a command.
Right. You know, Jesus came to be obedient to Father, to do his Father's will. You know, he came to show that if you put your faith and trust in God, you can be obedient to him. And he accomplished that. The Bible in Hebrews 4 tells us that Jesus was tempted in all ways like we are, and yet without sin. He was faithful.
Amen. He surely was. And boy, am I grateful, because without the faith that he had, I can't have the faith of Jesus if he wasn't faithful. But if he was faithful, which we know he was, he's in the heavens now. So now he can send his Spirit into my heart to change me to be faithful. We can ask for more faith.
Yes.
So the seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery, we see it very clear in the Old and New Testaments. And then in we read Romans 13:9, it mentions there, you shall not steal. So we see the eighth commandment again in the New Testament. It's amazing to me that people never have a problem. For the most part, they don't have a problem with the last six. It's always the ones in the first part that they want to dispute. It's not stealing. Most people, if they're stolen from, they don't like that.
You know, Mark, I think that verbally, they'll tell you they don't have a problem with these things. But living life, unless you can live life in the power of the Son of God, these things will affect you, you know?
So true.
So a lot of Christians will say, oh, yeah, I believe that. What does the Bible say? With their lips, they honor me, but their hearts are far from me.
Mm-hmm. And what shows that is the keeping of God's commandments. Being obedient to him shows that whether or not our hearts are far removed from him or our hearts are changed by him.
Right. And that's what it requires, the change.
Absolutely. So the eighth commandment also about not stealing. Sometimes we think of stealing as just maybe robbing somebody or of something or taking something from their home or from their car or one of their possessions. But, you know, there are other ways you can steal. You might, you know, if you worked supposed to work a 40-hour week and you work 39 and you thought, well, it's not going to hurt me just to go ahead and change these hours a little bit and put 40 on there. That's stealing. We're stealing from our boss.
Or you have someone that you know that's not your wife or not your husband, and you steal affections from them.
Very true.
All right, too. That's stealing. People steal from God. They don't. God has asked people to give him 10%, and those that don't are stealing from God.
Absolutely. And really, too, you know, the stealing affection thing that you're talking about, God says, I am a jealous God. Mm-hmm. He wants your devotion. He wants your worship. And if you give that to someone else, you see, that's a false God actually stealing from the true God. And a false God doesn't even exist. It's something that you make up in your mind. So you're robbing God in that sense. In that sense, we're stealing. Yeah, the tithe is very important. And I know there are a lot of people that say too, well, that's an Old Testament ordinance. But again, we have to keep going back to the scripture that says God does not change. So the ninth commandment.
You know, can we look at that?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
In Malachi chapter 3, I want to start in verse 6. And God is having a conversation with the people of Israel. And in the middle of this conversation, verse 6, he says, for I'm Jehovah, I change not. Because of this, you sons of Jacob are not destroyed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I'll return to you, says Jehovah of hosts. But you say, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you're robbing me and the nation, all of it. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now with this, says Jehovah of hosts, to see if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour out blessings for you until there is not enough room. How about a promise? What a promise. But you've stolen from me. And they ask him, well, how have we stolen you? He said, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. Just do what I ask you to do, and there's going to be such a blessing poured out on you, you won't have enough room to receive it.
And, you know, a lot of people don't believe this. And a lot of people will say, well, you know, I've used every penny that I have. I don't have enough left over after paid all of my bills to be able to give God 10%. Well, how is that any different from saying, well, you know, I've worked all week long and my work isn't done, so I've got to keep working on the Sabbath in order to get my work done. There's just not enough hours in the week for me to get all the things done that I need to get done. My experience has been that when I give to God what is his, somehow I end up with more than what I expected. Has that been your experience?
Well, you know, Mark, again, growing up in a Christian home, I was taught these principles. Now, there's been times in my life where I haven't had a lot of money, you know, very little money in the bank, living paycheck to paycheck. But God was always faithful to me. I never really lacked anything. You know, I've heard a number of stories of people that personally have met that were in the situation where they say, I don't have any money to give to God. But at some point, they took a step of faith and they started tithing, started to give offerings. And they're amazed that somehow they had enough money for everything they needed and a little bit left over when they started doing that. Even though if they wrote it down on paper, it didn't seem to make sense.
You know, it's amazing because, Ed, one of the things that growing up, remember, I grew up in a Sunday church, believing the commandments were null and void. That's what I was taught. And also the church that I grew up in, they didn't tithe. They were taught that that was an Old Testament ordinance, and they didn't tithe at all. And so I grew up not, you know, you give a little bit to the church here and there, but wasn't tithing. Well, at the same time that I started keeping Sabbath and the blessings came, I realized after a short period of time that tithing was biblical, and I started to tithe, and the blessings were just poured out in abundance. And ever since I recognized that that was a biblical command, I've done it. And you know, it's not always easy to make these changes. I mentioned this last week at the close of the program. Making these changes and these adjustments, especially when we haven't grown up that way, we might think it's impossible. I can't do it. I don't have the means or the time or whatever it is. But I've found that if you take, like you said just a moment ago, that step of faith, show God, just give him a little bit and watch the blessings start to come your way. And that builds your faith. It's tremendous to me.
Jim, can I take us to Matthew 22 for a minute?
Yes, please.
And I want to read verses 15 through 21, 22. This again is the modern King James. It says, then the Pharisees left and took counsel that they might entangle him in words. Okay, you know, they're always looking to trip Jesus up, to find fault with him.
Yes.
And they sent their disciples, the Pharisees' disciples, out to him along with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that you're true and that you teach the way of God in truth, nor do you care for anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. Therefore, tell us, what do you think? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why do you tempt me, hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought a denarius to him. And he said to them, whose image and inscription is this? They said to him, Caesar's. Then he said to them, therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things which are God. He's still telling you need to give God the things that are his, which he's
absolutely
asking, you know, but also he says, give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's.
Yes. So if we're not paying our taxes, we're stealing.
Yes, we are.
That's all part of not stealing. And the other thing, Ed, along these same lines, when you make those adjustments, you know, these Pharisees, if one of them saw a light of truth and started changing their ways, God's going to bless them in some way.
Sure.
And it's not easy to make the changes. When I saw the Sabbath, it took me some time. When I saw the tithe, because I saw how God blessed me with the Sabbath, I just started doing it. When I saw the truth about the biblical diet, I just started doing it. I didn't question anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. The first time, it's a huge leap of faith sometimes. But once you see, I can trust him. If I just do what he says, life is better. Things would be, it's not all going to be roses all the time. There's going to be difficult times, but it will be better even in the difficult times if I listen to God. That's been my experience.
Right.
So, yeah, thanks for sharing that text, Ed. So the commandment number 9, you shall not bear false witness. We find that again in Romans chapter 13:9. That means we shouldn't lie. And we know that the first sin that we find recorded in the Bible is a lie.
Right.
And it's where Satan... Go ahead.
You know, actually the first sin was in heaven. With
yes.
Lucifer, which was him not telling the truth. But we see that also in the serpent's interaction with Eve in the Garden of Eden.
Yes. Yeah, that's why I was careful in how I said that the first one we find recorded in the Bible. Yeah. Because like you said, Ed, you know, sin did begin in heaven. And the Bible is very clear on that. It started in the heart of Lucifer.
Right.
That's where sin began. It's almost like an infection, you know. If you don't tend to it, it'll fester. It'll get worse and worse. And that's what happened with Lucifer. And I gave a sermon on that, about sin beginning in heaven. And it's really interesting because I think a lot of people, even Christians, they don't think about that. But the devil is called the father of the lie in Scripture.
Yeah, John 8:44, actually.
Do you have that?
Yes.
Read the context of it as well.
Yeah, I'm going to start in verse 39. These are, again, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the scribes, and the lawyers, you know, interacting with Jesus, and they're asking him. And they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus answered them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard beside God. This Abraham did not do. You do the deeds of your father. They said to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I went forth and came from God, for I did not come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not know my speech? Because you cannot hear my word. You are of the devil as father, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He did not abide in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it.
There you go. So it's very clear that, again, this hasn't been done away with. Lying is a horrible thing. And, you know, lying and stealing kind of go hand in hand, if you think about it. But any other thoughts on this?
No, not offhand.
All right. And then we have the 10th commandment about not coveting. We know that Jesus mentioned that to that rich young ruler that we had talked about. But in Romans chapter 7, again, this is the Apostle Paul writing this in Romans chapter 7. And I believe it's in verse 7. It says here, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law, for I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. So we see there that he's establishing the law and talking about these things. He's saying the law isn't done away with at all.
Yes.
So this is interesting when we talk about these things. Now, we have just a few minutes left, Ed, and we've summed up the first four. We've looked at the last six. Are there any thoughts that you have about the Ten Commandments?
Yeah, I want to continue where you left off in Romans 7.
Sure, go right ahead, please.
Verse 8 says, but sin, taken occasion by the commandment, worked in me all kinds of lust. For apart from law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was to life was found to be death to me. Why is that? Because the wages of sin is death, and sin is the breaking of God's law or his commandments. Verse 11, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. So indeed, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, just, and good. In verse 14, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. So the hope for us in our life is found in Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Remember, the law is spiritual. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of God, his Father, has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, Nothing wrong with the law. It's the weakness of the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemns sin in the flesh so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
Wow. You know, that's amazing to me. So it's comparing the flesh with the Spirit, keeping the law versus not keeping the law.
Yes.
That's really what it's talking about. If I'm keeping the law of God, then I'm living according to the Spirit, and I would have the fruitage of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control.
Only through the power of the Spirit can we keep the law.
Amen. That's what it says in verse 2. The law of the Spirit of the life of Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So I'm not going to break God's law.
Right.
Because Christ is in me.
That law of sin and death is this natural thing that we have in us. The law that Paul says is the law within us that makes us do the things we don't want to do, to sin against God.
You know, Ed, this has been a tremendous study, and I love the fact that you brought us back to Romans 8. Next week, we'll pick up and we'll go right back to Revelation chapter 22 and see if we can finish out that chapter and just talk about some of those things. So, friends, you can see the commandments are in the Old and the New Testaments. None of them have changed. They're all the same. God doesn't change.
God so, wants to write them on your heart and in your mind.
Amen. Amen. Maybe we'll talk about that more next week, too. I think that would be a good thing to sound down. So let's have a closing word of prayer. Father in heaven, we're so grateful to see your law and see that you don't change and see how much you love us that you sent your son. Father, please help us to recognize our need for Jesus in our lives, that this is the only way that we can overcome sin and have the law written in our hearts. So help us to recognize this need. Help us, Father, to be willing to make the changes that are necessary and recognize that we can only do this by the Spirit of Christ dwelling in us. We ask that you'll be with us until we come together again last week. We thank you again for the study time, and we praise your holy name. We say this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Ed, thank you so much for taking time out of your vacation to join us here, and I hope to see you next week. And friends, we hope you'll join us here next Sunday, 7 p.m. on New Visions Radio. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.